If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us and challenge us, that you would help us get to know you better, that we might serve you better. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Robert Browning once wrote a poem entitled Pippa Passes, about an Italian girl. Because of her poverty and destitute family, she was forced to work every single day during the entire year in the silk mills. But on New Year's Day, she was given the day off. In sheer joy, she walked through the streets of her town in northeast Italy, singing a song of faith with words that said, "The years at the spring and days at the morn, mornings at seven, the hillsides dew pearled, the larks on the wing, the snails on the thorn, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world." As she walked down the narrow streets, her thankful heart free and overflowing, her song reached people just at a crucial moment in their lives. An unwed couple were moved to make some changes in their lives. An artist on the verge of losing his temper was calmed. An anarchist intent on assassinating the Austrian emperor was halted. A churchman planning a murder was smitten with remorse. Pippa returned home from her walk later in the day, unaware of the unseen effects of her attitude and song. Maybe more to the point. Leslie Flynn points out that the Italian word for influence is influenza. I'll say that again. The Italian word for influence is influenza. The word influenza was introduced into English in the mid-1700s, apparently coming from the Italian phrase which attributed the origin of this malady to an influenza di freddo, influence of the cold. We are, by our very natures, very contagious people. Our example tends to spread to others as easily as the flu because everyone exerts an influence. Imagine that. In a world that is currently terrified and transfixed by a certain contagion, maybe we aren't nearly concerned enough about how we are always being contagious, about just what people may be catching from us through our attitudes, our tone, our actions, or from what we don't do, from what we don't say. I mean, think about it for a minute. If we were half as worried about how we are using our influence instead of worrying about what might be infectious, imagine the difference we could make. Imagine the good we could do. Imagine the change we could render. Imagine the impact that you could make in these times. What if we always saw ourselves as being contagious, but instead of just wearing a mask or using more soap or keeping our distance, instead, what if we kept a tighter rein on our tongue? What if we were more conscious of who we are becoming and how we're coming across? What if we did a little bit better of a job thinking twice before acting once? But let me back up. Let me tell you where we are and where we're going. Today we are continuing our series looking at the book of Colossians. More than that, we're looking deeper into this idea that we are to be in Christ. And we've been talking about this for a couple weeks now. This idea that somehow whoever we are, wherever we are also supposed to be located in Christ. As such, we are striving to live a different way, do a different set of actions, be a different kind of people. We are to be more like Christ. This is what Paul from prison has been writing to the church in Colossae. In the process, he's been hoping to help them feel more connected, more encouraged, more grounded, despite the challenges that they're facing. Maybe that's a message that would help us as well. So if you would, I would invite and encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at how our focus changes because we're now in Christ. Then we'll talk about how our character changes now that we are in Christ, before finally recognizing how our identity changes now that we are in Christ. Before I start reading, I'll remind you that last week we ended by talking about baptism. While we often will douse or pour or sprinkle a little bit of water on a person being baptized, in that time, especially in that time, they would use much larger bodies of water, and the person would be put under the water, in essence dying to their old way of life, and then they'd be pulled out of the water, in essence being reborn, resurrected into a new way of life, a life now in Christ. Paul is going to borrow from that imagery in this first section. So let's begin. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And let's stop there for a couple of minutes. Our passage begins with Paul reminding the church in Colossae, and probably us too, that we have been raised with Christ, redeemed through Christ, reborn into a new life in Christ. And this changes everything. Surprisingly, our passage starts by telling us that we have been raised with Christ. In other words, this part has already happened. This is what Jesus has already done. Our state and our status have already fundamentally been changed. And so everything that follows is simply how we live into this new reality. You see, it is because we have been raised with Christ, we have died to our old way of life, we are now living in this new eternal way of life, eternal life with Christ, that we recognize that we are changed, that we have been brought into the new family of God, that we have been made into citizens of the kingdom of God, that we have become the chosen people of God. This is what God has done for us. And therefore, Paul is entreating this early church and us to live like it, be changed. And this begins with a changing of our hearts, a changing of our minds, a changing of our lives. In other words, for many of us, our focus needs to change because we are now in Christ. And so our thoughts should be higher thoughts. Our hopes should be higher hopes. Our feelings should be higher feelings. Our responses, our reactions, our reality should be higher now. This means that we have to change what we attend to, what we worry about, what we focus upon. And why? Because as we've been talking about, our lives are now in Christ. Or in the words of this part of the passage, our lives are hidden with him. So what does all this mean? What does this actually look like? And I think that part of the answer to this is found as we recognize how much of what we focus on shapes our lives. Of course, this is especially clear right now as our lives have been inundated with doom and gloom. It has been hard to not think about viruses and scary trend lines and financial meltdowns and all things fear. But as we've become consumed by these new worries, you might have felt that some of these same fears have been doing damage, have been consuming something inside of you, as if what we've been focused upon has an effect upon us. Now, I want to be extra careful here. You see, the reality is that regardless of what happens, our lives are hidden with Christ, which means whether we stay healthy or not, whether we lose our jobs or not, whether we are sheltering in place or not, whether the whole world is struggling right now or not, our lives are still hidden in Christ. And that's not to say that nothing bad will happen, because clearly something bad is happening. But it is to say that maybe our response, our reaction, should be different. In fact, what if we took the Bible at its word, it being the word and all? What if our minds and our hearts were on things above, even during this season? I wonder how that would change us. It strikes me that we'd be more engaged with the lives around us. We'd be more worried about those who are hurting and in danger. We'd be more focused on God and our prayers and the scriptures and God's peace and justice and love extending into God's hurting world. It strikes me that our response would be different, because our focus is on something or someone higher. But let's keep going. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And let's stop there for a moment. Because you see, it's not just that our focus needs to change, but also that our very character needs to change. And Paul is drastic in his description and prescription of what he's talking about. We have to quite simply put to death the things that belong to our earthly nature, to our old way of life, to what used to be normal. Because, quite simply, that's not going to fly anymore. That's not going to last. That's not going to be enough. And Paul isn't talking about a one-time change or a small change or just trying a little harder. Paul is very specific and even brutal. Something needs to die. And if you don't do it, it may kill you. His language is uncomfortable and uncompromising, but that doesn't mean he's wrong. And then he begins two lists describing this earthly nature. The first list seems to be cravings of the heart, misguided cravings of the heart. The second list seems to be expressions of sin that escape out of us and do damage to others. Paul isn't just trying to give us another list of things that we shouldn't be doing. Instead, he's trying to make sure that we understand who we used to be and who we should no longer be. Of course, this old self that we have taken off is something that should be gone, and then we put on this new self. And it's important that we notice that there's a change, there's an action, and we have some responsibility here. I like this image of taking off something old and putting on something new. Because if we start to live out the change that God has already been working out in us, it should be noticeable to others, and it should also transform us. It'll become something that we notice as well as it changes us. And I think we may even be able to see this as we think about our own experience of clothing, even in this time. I mean, if I'm wearing my church clothes or a suit or something nice, it's not just that other people see me differently, but I also work to then live up to the expectations of how I've dressed. If instead I put on clothes to do work in a garden or clothes that I would wear to a gym, that may cause me to act a different way, as well as cause others to treat me in a different way. In fact, the reality is that some of us have learned this lesson through the strange season that we're in right now. One of the interesting things that you may have noticed if you have been leaving the house less is that your clothing choices might have changed. But with that, you may have found that you also have changed. I mean, you used to get dressed up for work, but now you're working from home. And so that first day you made some effort, it was good, but 3 days later you were still in your PJs at 3. And while you've noticed some time saving, not having to do the commute, not having to do your hair, not having to tie a tie, or bathe for that matter, it's also harder to stay in work mode when you're not dressed that way. Or maybe you are home, but you have a lot of virtual meetings. And so you have been living kind of the life of the mullet. Business in front and party in the back. Only for you, it's a nice suit on top and not on the bottom. But you also may have felt the pendulum coming back a little bit. Because there's something about looking the part and feeling the part that does something inside of us that helps us live the part. And so you may have found that it actually works better to get ready for work, even if you're sitting at your kitchen table. Paul is trying to say that you are different, so live differently. And as you live differently, it should become easier to believe that you're different. We are to take off our old self and put on our new self, put on Christ. People should see Jesus in you. We should be in Christ. But let's finish the passage. Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Paul reminds the church that being in Christ means that not just their focus changes and not just their character needs to change, but even their identity is changed. Now that you are in Christ, this is your first identity. This is who you primarily are. This is who we are. We are first in Christ. In other words, you aren't your culture first. You aren't your country first. You aren't your ethnicity first. You aren't what you do first. You aren't your status or rank or role first. You aren't your job or your sports or your hobbies first. You aren't what other people think of you first. You aren't even a Presbyterian first. You are in Christ first. This is who we are. This is how we've been changed. This is our identity. This is our allegiance. This is our very self. Your life is hidden in Christ. It's who we are. And then, as if to expand on the idea, Paul makes sure that they know this is their new identity because he goes on, "You are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved." You are chosen. You are holy. You are dearly loved. This is who you are. And that's not to say that all those other identities just go away. Because in a few verses, or for us, it'll be next week, Paul will go on to explain just what all of those other things look like now that we are in Christ. We do all of those other roles differently because we are in Christ first. But they all take a back seat. They're all secondary to who we are in Christ. Frankly, this may even add clarity as we recognize that in many ways, all of those other roles, all those other identities get redefined, get repurposed, get refined in Christ. Because we are in Him first, it changes how we do all those things, how we view all of those other identities and roles. We should be a different kind of fill in the blank, because we are in Christ first. Because our first loyalty, our first love is in Christ. And what should this look like? What could this look like? Well, Paul goes on to tell us. We are to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience. We are to bear with one another and forgive. According to Paul, that is what those who are in Christ do. That's how we live. We are to be a people who are kind. We are to be people who are humble. We are to be people who forgive. And then this new identity begins to reshape how we work, how we behave, how we relate, how we speak, how we respond in all of these other areas of life. Quite frankly, so many of the attributes that Paul names are specifically ones that help us with other people, with community. Kindness is something we do for others. Humility is not getting so caught up on ourselves so we can focus on God and others. Gentleness and patience, that's a posture towards others. Forgiveness and love, you get the idea. As we live these things out, we become a different kind of people. We become a different kind of community. We become a different kind of church. And this then hopefully starts to affect the people around us. What if we were the kind of people that exuded kindness and patience and love? What if we really were more concerned with others than ourselves? What if we were a people who are gentle? Paul even encourages us to let the peace, the shalom, the wholeness, the well-being of Christ rule in our hearts. Because we were called to be this kind of people. We were called to be a people of peace. This is why whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we should do it all in the name of the Lord, because we are in Christ. This is our first identity. This is our primary identity. And therefore, everything else gets reshaped through the lens of faith, through the lens of Christ. You see, it's not just that our focus should be on Christ. It's not even that we should be clothed, that our character should be in Christ, so others can see us being in Christ, so they could see Christ in us. But ultimately, we need to recognize it's our identity that gets reshaped. It's our identity being in Christ that then changes our focus and our character. We are clothed in Christ as we recognize that we are in Christ. As we focus more on Christ, these all work together. And Paul is encouraging the church in Colossae and ultimately us to live this out. You are in Christ, which should change our focus. It should reshape our character, and it should redefine our identity. If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that you sent your Son to die for us, and that all of those things, because of all of those things, we can then live differently. And so, Lord, we ask that you would continue to help us, that we might partner with you as you work to change our focus, that our hearts would be on higher things, that our minds would be on higher things, that our lives would be focused on higher things. And then, Lord, we pray that you would work a little deeper in our character. Lord, help us to take off that old self again and again as we continue to put on the new self, as we continue to be clothed in Christ, filled with gentleness and compassion and patience and love. But Lord, then we pray that that change would go even deeper as you help us know that even our identity is changed, that we are holy, that we are chosen, that we are loved. Lord, help us live out this new reality in all the aspects, in all the areas of our lives. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We pray all these things in his strong name. Amen.